Welcome to this week's podcast at Bergen Park Church from Evergreen, Colorado. We hope you enjoy this message, and if you'd like to hear any more or learn more about the church, please visit bergenparkchurch.org.
Again, today is we're calling it our Commitment Sunday, and what you've noticed, hopefully, I know we're not here every Sunday, so the rhythm of what's been happening over the last 3 months may not totally catch you, so I'm going to catch you up on where we've been. Is we've had a number of individuals over the last few weeks that have gotten up here on Sunday mornings and they've shared their passion and their heart for Bergen Park Church. We went all the way back to the beginning of the church and even gave you a history of how this building came about. In 2015, this building was built, but it started in the 50s across the street, and the Art Center used to be Bergen Park Church. If you didn't know that, you know it now. It's the Art Center across the street, used to be Bergen Park Church, and a group about 80 to 100 people had a vision, said, you know what? We've got kids meeting in closets. We've got bathrooms that are really tiny. I've heard all these stories. We need to do something. And so 80 people, 100 people took a risk, a huge risk, to step out in faith and say, we're going to build a 10,000, 12,000, I don't know how big this is, it's something. We're going to build this facility for people we don't even know, and we're going to risk $3.5 million to get there. And God did that. And then eventually we paid off that entire note, which has been fantastic, fantastic. And then as we have grown as a church, we realize we need more space. And so if you haven't learned about this new addition, I hope you'll take some time out in the lobby. It's also in your bulletin there. You can go online and find out more about it. Now, let me share with you what we're going to do today. It's my opportunity and it's the staff's opportunity to tell you why we are passionate about what God is doing here at Bergen Park Church. Now, if you're new to Bergen Park Church, we do have a mission statement. It's not unique to us. It's really just unique to Scripture. And our mission statement is to glorify God by worshiping God daily. If you want to pull that up. Glorifying God as we worship Him daily, follow Jesus, and love our neighbor. That we are a community who is passionate about the manifest, tangible presence of God. That's number one. That as disciples of Jesus, we want to be with God. We want to be with God in prayer and scripture reading and community on a regular. You can leave that up, guys. Thanks. And then second, we want to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus means this. It means to be formed out of the ways of the world and the philosophies of the world. That's number one. And into the way of Jesus. Jesus' invitation, his first invitation, was come and be with me. Simply come and be with me. And that's our invitation to you. If you're new to Christianity and what this means, it simply means to start off by being with God. And that's our second goal, is to be with God, to be with Jesus. And then third, he calls us to do stuff. And primarily, he said, there's two commands I want you to remember. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then second, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to take all of Jesus' teaching about how do we care for this community, we love our neighbor as ourselves. What would that look like? And so as a community, we want to move out into Evergreen, Clear Creek County, all of this community, our businesses, our volunteers, our fire department, our schools, we want to be for this community. And when they encounter us, we want them to know, even if we disagree on different things, and we will, we don't want to be disagreeable, we want to be winsome. It gets better, trust me, it's okay. Anyways, a little ADD moment. We want to be winsome. We want to love this community. We want to come alongside this community, our business owners, our leaders, and we want this to be Evergreen, to be a community that flourishes because the church is here and because we're in partnership with one another. That's our desire. That's what we're hungry for. Now today, quickly, we're going to jump into Jeremiah 29 because Jeremiah 29, beautiful passages. You may know this, that one verse that everybody memorizes. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Do you know this one? You probably have it on a pillow. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, right? Plans to give you, that's Jeremiah 29. We're not talking about that, but we are going to jump into Jeremiah 29. And here's why, and here's the introduction before the other staff get up here, is that in Jeremiah 29, Israel is in a really bad place. And some of you this week, maybe you had a bad week, and you're wondering, what is God doing in my life? Well, that's where Israel was in Jeremiah 29. They had a horrible week. Babylon came in, they wiped out Jerusalem, the city, and the nation of Israel, and they took them into slavery. And Jeremiah is now writing to Israel, to this group of people who are in suffering, and he's saying, even though this tragedy's come upon you, I've not abandoned you. Because it feels that way, doesn't it? Sometimes. It feels when we're in suffering and in hardship, say, God, where are you? That's where Israel's crying out, God, where are you? And then Jeremiah is speaking God's words to this community. I want you to hear the way he describes how Israel, God's people, got to the place that they are. So if you want to jump in, it'll be up there as well, Jeremiah 29. We're going to read verses 1 to 7, but we're going to skip a little bit. Verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders. Notice surviving, that means a lot of other people died. So this is a tragedy. And to the priests and the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king of Babylon, he's a bad guy, if you didn't know, had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. That's the storyline. Now, jump over to verse 4. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles, that means slaves, to all my people who are slaves, whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. Here's what I want you to do. Verse 5. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives. Have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. And hear these words, verse 7. Seek the welfare. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you also will find your welfare. In its welfare you will find your welfare. This is the word of the Lord. All thanks be to God. Father, would you bless this time together? Would you bless my brothers and sisters that are going to get up and speak and share on their heart and love for this community? Would you teach us and guide us in Jesus' name? Amen. So in this story, what Jeremiah is describing is this tragedy that happened. Could you imagine a foreign power coming in and wiping out the United States? Unfortunately, I'd be dead because I'm too old. They killed all the old people. They took all you young people. You're going to get taken, and I'll let you decide if you're young or not. You're going to get taken off into captivity because they want to kind of get into your mind and make you Babylonians. And then Jeremiah's speaking into that tragedy, and he's saying, here's what's going on. And there's something really important I want you to notice. You're going to see in verse 1 and verse 4. And verse 7, why are they in Babylon? Now, if you jump back into verse 1, you'll see these words. And it says, whom I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is at the end of the verse, notice, whom I, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who is responsible for the tragedy that's happening in these people's lives? Jeremiah, God saying it's Nebuchadnezzar. And some evil stuff is happening. Violence, oppression has taken place. But then what happens is it gets reframed in verse 4. And notice this, if you can pull that up. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I sent. Now, verse 1, we're describing the circumstances. Nebuchadnezzar did some evil. God's acknowledging that. And that evil got you into Babylon, which is not a good place to be, guys. If you're thinking it's a good destination, this is not a vacation. Babylon's a bad place. And then he says, listen, even though Nebuchadnezzar was doing evil in your life, I'm not abandoning you. I'm in the mix of it. And that's a bit of a mystery, isn't it? It's a bit of a mystery. How there's evil that happens in the world, and yet God hasn't abandoned me, and I just kind of trust him, and that's where we go to the cross. We can't get into that yet, but whom I sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then watch this, verse 7. He reaffirms the same idea. But seek the welfare of the city. And what's the city? Is it a good city? Is it a city that's going to love you and care for you? No, it's the Babylonian city. I want you to seek the welfare of your enemies. Have you ever heard that? Jesus said something about enemies. That we should hate our enemies, we should crush our enemies, we should destroy our enemies, we should scream at them on social media and make them feel like idiots. No? Okay. Yeah, we should love our enemies. Where does that come from? All the way back in the Old Testament. That I have sent you into exile. So who is responsible? Is it Nebuchadnezzar? is a God? And the answer is yes. If you didn't know, it's a little confusing. There's a mystery there, isn't there? In this evil that's going on in my life, God is still in control. God is still at work. I haven't abandoned you. I know the plans I have for you. You can go there, prosper you, but realize the plans I have for you are to go through some pretty dark days. And so here's the question I want to lead into that the rest of the staff are going to be addressing. Why are you here in Evergreen? Now, this is not Babylon, but it is kind of Babylon. It is and it is. I don't know if you know this. The New Testament describes Christians as living in exile. Exile means that this is not our native land. An exile is somebody's like an expat. They're from another country with other customs, and they're living in a land that's not their own with values and circumstances that don't align with what they believe. That's where you live today in the United States. As much as we may love our country and be passionate for it, we are exiles, meaning we are citizens of another kingdom living in the United States. I'm not an American first. And that's not a lack of patriotism. I'm a Christian first. And I follow Jesus and his kingdom. And then part of what I do as a good citizen of the kingdom of heaven is I love my nation. And I love the people. And I prefer my nation. I prefer the place that I live in. But why are you here in Evergreen? You may say, well, I'm here because my job took me to Denver. And I was like, wow, Evergreen. Ooh, that's all right. My job took me to Denver. And I was like, Evergreen, it's amazing. And so maybe you're here because of your job or your career. Maybe you're here because your family. They lived in this area and you bought a house somehow, miraculously, which is always a miracle to buy a house in Evergreen. And you're here for that. Or maybe you retired and you said, you know what, if we're going to retire, I want to go to Evergreen. Right near I-70, the corridor, head up, ski resorts, mountain biking, Bergen Peak, all that good stuff. And that's why you're here. And those are the circumstances that brought you here. And yet, if that's the only way you see Evergreen in this community, you will use Evergreen, not love Evergreen. Are you with me? If you are here for your purposes, then you're going to yell at people because they're not doing it right. City council, whoever. We don't have a city council, do we? No, we don't. Anyways, you'll yell at the business owners. You'll yell at the volunteers, right? Fire department, you're not getting it together. Church, you're not getting it together. Schools, you're not getting it. If you see that you are here for Evergreen to serve you, then that's how you're going to engage, and that's how most people engage, right? We kind of yell at each other. But if God has called you here, and maybe those things in your life are influences that brought you here, if God has called you here for the welfare of Evergreen, then you are here not to use the city. You're here to serve the city. You with me? And what God is saying to the people of Israel is, I want you to be here, and I want you to build buildings, and I want you to plant them yourself in this community. Because, see, they thought they were going to be there a really short amount of time, because you don't want to stay in captivity very long. God, I can't wait till we get out of here. He's like, no. I want you to build houses. I want your sons to get married and your daughters to get married here. And I want you to live for the welfare of a community that disagrees fundamentally with what you believe. But you are here to love and to serve that community. That's God's vision for us. And so the question we're asking this morning is, what does that look like for you? You may have come to Evergreen for a lot of different reasons. But we need to rethink how we view the people in this community. And to rethink it through the lens of the gospel and Jesus. That when I look at the I-70 corridor, I'm not just thinking of I-70 as a way that I get to where I want to go. As I'm driving the I-70 corridor, which I don't know if you realize is one of the most unreached corridors, communities in all the United States. One of the things that brought my wife and I, apart from the beautiful people we met, was that I read a report as we were going through the search process that really excited me in a way. And it was a report from 2010. And it was a census that was taken. And I found out that in Clear Creek County, which, if you don't know, is our neighboring community, just a mile away, of the people that were surveyed in that census, less than 1%, around 1%, claimed to know to be a Christian. 1%. That made Clear Creek County among the top 10 in the whole United States, most unreached counties in the United States. And I was in Arlington, Texas. I don't know if you know anything about Arlington, Texas, but it's probably 50 to 60%. And there are churches on every corner, and I love that community, and I love being a part of it. But I thought to myself, you know, I'm excited to go to a small community where I can be known and my reputation can matter, and we can actually reach out. And that's where you are right now, if you do not know that. And so as Jonah, if you want to come on up, our different staff members are going to be coming up, talking about what brought them to this community. And one of the things I want you to know as they're coming up, as Jonah's coming up, most of our staff is internally grown, even with Jonah. And as he's going to share his story, that most of our staff are passionate first and foremost about Bergen Park Church, and then they stepped into being on staff and catching on to the vision of what God's doing here. So Jonah, with that, I'm going to hand it off to you.
Thanks, Jason.
Yep.
Thanks for the introduction. So I was exiled here back in 2004, actually. Not a bad place to be exiled, but Evergreen was not on my radar necessarily. But coming out of college, my wife was hired at a local school. She was a school teacher. I was studying, working on my master's degree down at Denver Seminary. So we just kind of landed in this community. And Bergen Park Church was actually the first and the only church we visited. We didn't need to visit any other churches in the area. We felt loved, accepted. It felt like family from day one. Pastor Jim used to say that visiting Bergen Park Church could kind of feel like maybe attending somebody else's family reunion. You know, those small churches that feel, but we never had that feeling. Like I said, we were welcomed right away. One of the first people we met here at Bergen Park Church was Terry Tucker. She's here this morning. Terry was excited to introduce us to the other young couple at the church. There were literally, I think, three or four people under the age of 40 at that time at Bergen Park Church. But this church has grown a lot, as you can see. A lot of young families, a lot of kids. So it's exciting to see what God has done with this community. And as Jason was saying too, I had the pleasure, the privilege of growing with this church. A lot of my firsts in ministry happened. In fact, I think all of my firsts in ministry happened in this church. I preached my first sermon here at the age of 23. It was a bad sermon. I'm glad most of you weren't here to hear it. But the elder team, the pastoral team, gave me that opportunity. The opportunity to learn and to grow in ministry as a seminary student. Other firsts, we became members of this church, my wife and I, the first church in our lives we'd ever been members of, Bergen Park Church. I got to serve as an elder, again, as a young man, inexperienced, but again, the leadership of this church gave me that opportunity to serve as an elder, to learn and to grow in ministry. This church then commissioned my wife and I and sent us to the mission field. We served for 13 years with Reach Global, the international mission of the Evangelical Free Church. 11 of those years we spent planting a church in Lyon, France. During that time as well, on one of our home assignments, we came back and I was ordained in this church. My ordination service happened here at Bergen Park Church with members of our district and congregation gathered around me. In fact, the entire congregation came up on stage and laid hands on me. I don't think we could fit everybody on the stage today, but that was a special time in my life as well. And then moving on from there, when we were back here in the States in 2020, coming back from the mission field, COVID was happening, all the turmoil around that, and the church was in need of an executive pastor, and Jason reached out, the elder team reached out and said, Jonah, do you want to come on staff? I came on staff, and I'm now working as executive pastor here, kind of behind the scenes, helping with the operations of the church, managing our staff, helping with Bible studies, occasional preaching, and that sort of thing. But not very many people get to say that they served as an attendee, member, elder, missionary, and pastor of the same church. So this has been my home. I love this community, love this body, and I'm excited to see where we're headed as well with this building expansion project coming up. We're not done growing yet. Okay, and one of the things that gets me out of bed in the morning, one of the things that excites me about ministry here is that this is a gospel-centered church, a Christ-centered church, a church that teaches the Bible, a church that is Spirit-empowered. Okay, this is important because, as Jason was sharing, we live in a very unreached area. And I see in this congregation, I see in our staff, a desire to reach out to the people around us. So as we build this expansion to the north side of our current building, this is not just about creating room for us here today. This is about reaching out. We reach out as we draw in. Okay, it's kind of two things at once, kind of like the waves moving in and out from the shore. We're reaching out to the people around us as we're also drawing them into this community. So that excites me, being part of a gospel-centered church. A second thing that really gets me excited, that gets me out of bed in the morning, is developing, empowering, and sending people. I love to be able to teach the Word of God, to encourage people, the intellect, the emotion, the volition of our people, whether that's preaching, whether that's teaching a class here at the church, whether that is my Friday morning men's group or just one-on-one with individuals. I love discipling. I love helping people grow in knowledge of God, in faith in God, in relationship with God. And then finally, I would say it's working with our staff. I love this team. We've built a culture here of mutual love, respect, support, collaboration, and I'm excited to see how that continues to grow as we move toward this building expansion. So there are some good things happening here at the church. There are some very good things happening here, and I'm excited. I'm going to hand it over to Wendy. She's going to come up and share a little bit about her experience in this church.
Hi, everyone. Psalm 23:4, as you all know, says, "The Lord is our shepherd." And my life, I'm going to try not to cry, has been based on this verse and where he has led me. I've gone, whether it was when I was 18 as a missionary to Africa or to America with Philip once we were married. But similarly, our journey to Bergen Park was a journey. Now, when we lived in California, which some of you might not know, but we lived there for 18 years, and there was a time I was teaching in a Christian school there, and but it was far away from where we lived, and we really felt, Philip and I, as we prayed, that we should be closer to home. We should be at church in our neighborhood. And so with our kids, we went to all the churches we could find in the area. And afterwards, we would discuss with our kids. And some of it was based on the food that they served after church, not going to lie. But there was one place I remember vividly where my oldest son turned around at the end and he said, "Mom, God was here, but he's not here anymore." So we didn't go to that church. But we did find a church, and it was home for us. And so when we moved to Evergreen, which I was not very happy about, I can tell you. I'm a California girl at heart. We did a similar thing. And so we went and visited all the churches. And it was our oldest son again who said, "We need to try Bergen Park Church." But we weren't really listening. And so we found a church down in Denver. And for a year, we commuted down there. And it was great. The people were lovely. But no one would come up to Evergreen. I mean, we tried enticing them with our cooking. They still wouldn't come. But it wasn't exactly home. And so after a year, we listened to our son. And he said, "We've got to try Bergen Park Church." And so we came in. It was the one church. I'm telling you, we tried every church, unlike Jonah. We visited every church in Evergreen. And it was the one church we didn't try. So we came in. And as we walked through the doors, we found something different. We found people we could truly connect with. People who shared our values and welcomed us like a family. Now, at the time, Pastor Jim was leading the church, and shortly after he arrived, and I hope it wasn't because of us, he announced he was going to retire. I assumed that he and his sweet wife would go off into the sunset on a new chapter somewhere. However, that wasn't the case. They chose to stay. They gave the church a year to find a new pastor. And then they remained part of the congregation, as you see today. That decision spoke volumes to me. It wasn't just a church to them. It was home. And we felt the same way. Now, when I first started volunteering with Elevate, I never expected to end up leading. I was satisfied to be a helper. But as many of you know, God's calling often directs us in unexpected places. And as it says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So that first year on Elevate was a little bit like drinking from a fire hose, I'm not going to lie to you. But it also, as I look back, it was about building a foundation, a safe space where students could feel valued, accepted, and truly at home. In our second year, we focused on deepening those relationships. We went on retreats. We served in local missions. And we grew in our faith in weekly Bible studies. Walking alongside these students and watching their passion for serving others blossom has been a profound joy. And now, in our third year, we're stepping into a dream. Something that was a prayer, a mission trip, is becoming a reality. We're going to Mexico to build a home. Now, last week, I'm really going to try not to cry. Last week, some of you were blessed because you witnessed the heart of Elevate in action. The youth group members served you and the Lord by greeting you at the door, making coffee. I really hope it tasted good. Leading worship, which was phenomenal. Praying for the congregation before we even started. You missed that, which was incredible. Sharing the announcements. Even teaming up with Pastor Jason to present the book of James. To see them take ownership and step into these roles with such confidence and joy was genuinely moving. I was in tears at the back. It filled my heart with gratitude to see how God is at work in their lives. We are so blessed to guide them in their journey of faith. Now, the future may be uncertain, but not with God as our shepherd. I have 10,000 reasons to believe that, and you are actually sitting on them. You see, every week, we move 110 chairs to transform this space into a youth-friendly environment where every student can hang out and play and form lasting relationships. And every Wednesday after Delta, we move all those 110 chairs back. So that is, if you worked it out, 10,000 chairs over the course of 1 year. It may seem like a small effort, but its impact is enormous. And soon, with the new gymnasium, we're not going to have to move those chairs. But we're also going to have a dedicated space for the kids, where they can grow and belong. Now, another key element of Elevate is our weekly, our weekly volleyball nights. And we have amazing leaders who help out every week. And we play in three different locations. That's about 260 games over the course of a year. And these leaders show up and they hang out with the kids. We have kids that come that aren't even fully involved in Elevate, but they bring their friends and they come to volleyball. And it's a fantastic time. We pray each week and we just have fun together. We're going to be able to do that in a consistent place. It's going to strengthen those friendships where they're going to grow together and they're going to deepen their faith in this community. And so I look forward to that as I follow my shepherd where he leads us next. I want these kids that you saw last week to become leaders of their youth group and take those skills into the community and beyond. Thank you. I'm going to pass it over to Lauren. I didn't cry.
Hi, everyone. Like Wendy said, my name is Lauren. I'm the children's director here at Bergen Park Church, and I'm a former teacher, which is why I'm the one that brought the clipboard up, because that's just my MO. I have the best job in the church because I get to work with our youngest people, and they love Jesus a lot, and they are not scared to talk about it. And so I am feeling a little nervous this morning, and I never get nervous on stage. So I'm going to try to channel their bravery and tell you guys why my husband and I chose this church and where we're headed. So like Jason mentioned this morning, we're all about why we were called to Evergreen. And that's hard for me because I didn't think I was being called to Evergreen or this church. My husband and I, kind of in our 20s, bounced from church to church, never really found a place to be, didn't make it a priority, and then we had kids. And we had our Emerson, and she's lovely, and then we had our James, and we're like, oh my goodness, we have to go to church. Someone's got to teach this kid. And so that's exactly what we did. We got to Evergreen in February. In March, we said we're going to find a church. And like every good millennial, we pulled out our iPhone and we typed in church near me. And this is the one that popped up. So that is how we found Bergen Park Church. And it was Palm Sunday, and we came in on Palm Sunday the week before. A huge critical factor was the fact that this church offered childcare, because those of you sitting with babies in your laps right now, God bless you. I needed childcare. And so we found childcare, and we got our babies in, and we sat on that back row right back there. And the agreement was is that we would come to church, and we'd sit in the back, and we would sneak on out, and that would be our church experience. As you can tell, it worked out really well for us. but we chose Bergen Park Church really because we came in that Sunday, we sat in the back row, and we listened to Jason preach about the Sermon on the Mount. And he talked about not being anxious and allowing God to have control of your life, and that if God would provide for the birds, won't he provide for us? And we left out into the parking lot, and I turned to Brandon, and Brandon turned to me, and we were like, that was the best sermon we have ever heard. And so we came back the next week, and it was Easter Sunday, and the week after that, and the week after that, and 3-4 years later, here we still are. This church is home to us. The first thing that I did after we finally decided this is it is I called up Melissa, Jason's wife, and I said, I'd love to help. Where can you put me? And she said, how about coffee ministry? And I said, I don't drink coffee, but yes. And so that's what I did. I jumped in coffee ministry, and I sat over in that corner, and I made coffee. And I thought that I was serving, but what was really happening is I was being served. I sat next to Nancy Schott, and she loved on me like no one has ever loved on me. She prayed over my marriage and my motherhood, and she just invested in me. And then I got involved in CBS Bible study. Kel Elwood chased me down until I said yes and made sure that I was in a Bible study. And I started going to Bible study and reading the word in a new way that hits you when you've got kids and you're in your 30s and you're no longer just wandering around in the mountains. And got invested into the church that way, which brought me into more Bible studies here in this church, where I found this community of young women who was doing motherhood with me. They joined me alongside in the diaper changing phase and the crying baby phase and the hard toddler phase, and just made it all work. I watched my kids fall asleep on Annette Yesbacher's chest as we would sit in Bible study in her house. And I was just loved on. And that's why we chose to be here. And so when Jonah called and asked if I would consider being the children's director, it was a hard no. And I was like, absolutely not. I am a young mom, and I really love being a young mom. And he said, well, why don't you pray about it? And so we did. Brandon and I prayed about it, and we couldn't come up with an actual reason to say no. We knew that this was an opportunity for us to invest in this church, and more than just investing in the children, to invest in the young families. And so my focus today is yes on the kids, but it's really on the fact that I only do so much with those kids in the 45 minutes I have them on a Sunday morning, but what their parents do, what this church community can do throughout the week, that's really where it's at, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here by partnering with parents. So a little bit about children's programming. When I started 3 years ago almost, those first 3 months that I was here, we averaged about 38 kids on a Sunday morning. And that was between two services. We ended up knocking it down to one service because we just didn't have the capacity for volunteers and kids in the second service at about 38 kids a week. Now, we serve, right now, there are 60 kids in the classrooms, right now, just in the first service. We average about 63 to 70 kids per week. And a couple weeks ago, we had 82 children in Sunday school here at Bergen Park Church, and we had no room for them at all, which is why we're talking about having this building, is because, my goodness, we're just growing so much, and it's such an amazing thing to witness. God has shown favor to this church and to the people in it, and it's just so amazing to watch him work. We now have two Sunday services with child care, full child care at both. Wednesday nights, we run this awesome program called Delta Club, where kids come in and they just learn about Jesus. Right now, we're walking through the Old Testament, and sharing those stories with them is just amazing. They love it. We also play a lot of games. There are also sometimes light fixtures that are hit. We have a play group on Tuesday morning that is busting at the seams of our preschool room. We take over the playground any chance we get. We have fall festivals and Easter festivals, and my absolute favorite thing in the world, Vacation Bible School, where we have already maxed out our registration of 100 kids for this summer, which is amazing. Yes. So our church is growing. Our church is growing, and it's really exciting to be a part of it. But I could talk a whole lot about where we've been and where we are now, but really the whole purpose of today is talk about where we're going. You know, we've given you a big ask, and we're asking for this building expansion, and we've asked for God to bless that building expansion, and I know he will. I know that's what's going to happen today. But then what? What does that really look like? And so for me as a children's director, it means I'm going to have some more classrooms so that we don't have 20 kids sitting right behind those doors trying to be really quiet so they don't interrupt us today. That we are not going to move 10,000 chairs a year because we will just have a gym place to hang out. That we can say yes when the Boy Scout troop and the Girl Scout troop call and say, hey, can we use your space? The answer will be yes. Do you hear that, Laura? It could be yes. Yes. And so that when Jonathan calls up and says, hey, can we use your, you know, space to do baseball fittings? It's always a yes. That we can just say yes to our community. But it also means a whole lot to me as a mom, because this space is where I'm raising my kids. This is our family. The emergency contact at my kids' school is a member of this church. The people who are teaching my kids about Jesus go to this church. Someday, God willing, I'm gonna be standing up here reading a Bible verse while William gets baptized, right, in that baptismal. Someday, God willing, my sweet James, who gets so nervous, is going to stand up on this stage and give announcements or share his testimony. Someday, God willing, I'll be sitting right here looking back as Emerson walks down the aisle. Those are the things that this church is going to do, and they're going to do it because we're investing in our kids. And so today, as we ask you to fill out those pledge cards and dump them in the really cute setup that our kids helped with, think about that. These kids love you, you love them, and today we're asking you to show up for them. So I'm going to pass it over to our cleanup batter, Justin. There he is, coming in ready to clean up for us. Yes, and we thank you.
Thank you. It's weird being up here without a guitar. I feel a little naked. So my wife and I were actually founding members in 1948 of the church. That's not true. We've been here 6 months. But it's been quite a journey to get here. So I'll actually start with how I ended up picking up this thing. I started teaching myself guitar when I was 17, started writing songs when I was 19. I was going to be a rock star. And the church I was going to in California at the time, the youth leader who I adored said, hey, can you help us with worship? And I said, nah, that's lame. I want to be a rock star. And he said, please. And so I said, fine. And so I started leading worship when I was 19. And I've spent a good chunk of my adult life trying not to be a worship leader. And God has continually pulled me back into the church to do it. So I was part of a church for 28 years in California. And then we moved out here in 2015, out to Colorado. And my wife and I have seen quite a bit in the last decade. We've seen mega churches, church plants. We've led worship as freelance worship leaders at 20 different churches. We've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the very ugly. There were moments I wanted to turn my back on the whole thing, did. Took a tour, saw a lot of desperate people that actually needed the true Jesus, came back. And so this whole journey made me realize how important it is to find a church home. And to find a church home, not just to be cozy, but to have, I think about it this way, the church should be a breathing organism where we come in and we collectively remind ourselves of the power of God, but we don't stay there. But then we go out into our community and we breathe the life that that community desperately needs. And I think sometimes the church holds its breath. I think sometimes we come in and we're like, it's all about this. It's all about the church show. It's all about, you know, a good TED Talk and a good rock concert. And we just kind of keep it here. But that's not it. It's about breathing in, reminding ourselves of who God is and how beautiful that is with each other. And then going out and loving Evergreen, loving Denver, loving wherever we're going. And my wife and I have seen a lot of different churches in the last decade in Denver. And this has been the first church that has felt like home, which is why we're here. We wanted to be at a place where we were able to raise our kids, just like Lauren was saying, walking down the aisle, the things that bring tears to your eyes. Like, we wanted our kids to experience that. And I grew up with that. And then for a decade, we've seen all sorts of things. And then to be able to come back, just be grateful. Somebody who's gone out and seen different things, just, if you're here, you should have a heart of gratitude, because this feels like a family. It feels like home. And we're starting to get to know you guys, but there's something special that's happening here, which is why we're here. And it's beautiful, as I've been trying to ask God what he wants to do. And if you want the very, very long version of how my wife and I ended up here, and you have 5 hours, you can talk to us in the lobby. But the gist is, because God said. And I was in this room, I'm like, okay, we're here. God, what do you want to do with this church? What do you want to do with worship? What do you want to do with all these things? And as I was praying, I heard a still small voice that said, keep it pure. And I think that's awesome, because sometimes we can get distracted with a lot of the superfluous things. But I just feel like the community, the worship, the preaching, just to keep it pure is the call here. And I've come up with this little tagline for worship, at least. It's going to be presence over performance or preference. Because the worst thing I can do is perform and miss it. The worst thing you can do is make it about your preference. You'll miss it. So if you're like, I like that song, I don't like that song. We all have preferences, and that's fine. But if we idolize our preferences, we'll miss God. It's not about the song, it's about who we're singing to. And that's something I've learned. And if I'm up here and just performing, because I wanted to be a performer, God's continually brought me back into the church to say, it's not about you. Music doesn't get to be about you. And it's taken me, I'm dense, so it's taken me many, many years to find that out. But now, it's beautiful because we get to collectively kill preference and kill performance and just be in God's presence. And so that's my prayer as we keep going. And I was told to tell you guys some dreams that we're hoping for. So I've done things in the past where we've had worship and prayer nights where we just pray and worship to God. We're hoping to hopefully start those in the fall. We're hoping that with the new building, we'll have Wednesday night things where we can have worship and classes and all sorts of things for the community, and possibly Alpha. I don't know if you guys have heard of Alpha, but Alpha is this outreach thing that I've been a part of for about a decade, and it's meeting people where they're at and then not keeping them there, but pointing them to Jesus. So there's a lot of dreams that are swirling, and a lot of those things come with a new building, but it's really not about the building. It's about what the building is going to do. And it's about who the building will draw. And as we continually practice breathing as a church where we gather people in, kind of like what Jonah was saying, we bring people in and then we breathe out and we say, come and see. And then we come back in. And that's the beauty of the church. And you guys are already doing an awesome job. Just the partnerships that you all have with the community is just so awesome to see. And it's rare that there's a church that just is for the community. It's like, we're going to meet you where you're at, and then we're going to show you something better. And so the building's going to help us with that. But I just wanted to say, on behalf of my family, we're incredibly grateful to be a part of a church home again. When you're not for a decade and you're just kind of prone to wander, and Lord, you feel it, when you finally find that home, it's peace. It's peaceful. And the song that I played, I Will Find My Rest in You, that's the first worship song I ever wrote. And that line, fill me with your perfect peace that the world can't take away, I wrote it in hopes to find it. I wasn't feeling it in the moment. And the first time I was here, I found that peace. And so we just want our community to find that peace that the world can't take away. So with that, I am the cleanup crew. So I'm going to do everything. I'm going to try to do communion and then sing the song and do all those things. So please bear with me as I try to figure out how to close us up. But I do want to close first in prayer, do a prayer, and then we're going to do communion, and then I'll send you guys off. But dear Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we get to be a part of it. May we continually abide with you. And we just trust, you. You are the God who provides. So we just pray that you would provide for this new building. We look at it in hope for the future of what you're going to do, the lives you're going to impact, and just the hearts you're going to touch. And God, I just pray that you would continually move. May we partner with you and not just do our own thing and ask you to come along. May we truly hear your still small voice and follow it where you would like us to go. And God, we just thank you so much for this church, what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do. And we just thank you for being a generous and loving God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Surprise.
Oh, hey, Jason.
Hey.
A little church magic just appeared.
I thought I'd help you out. I'll let you get your guitar. Okay. Thanks. I realize that probably wasn't the best transition. Yeah. So this morning, as you guys have heard from each one of our staff members, which I just love that. I love that they had the opportunity to share that. There are some pledge cards as you head out. I'm not sure exactly where they are. But if you would, actually, they're on the table. That's where they are. They're on the table. That's prepared. If you would pray with us. I know some of you today are prepared to give, and we are so grateful for the generosity that this church has already given to allow the foundation to be laid. I think the total that has been given so far is in the bulletin, isn't it? Is it not? It is? Okay. You'll find that total there, but would you be praying with us? And then in the months ahead, would you consider turning that pledge card back in? And maybe you can't give between now. We're kind of asking between now and October. Maybe it's beyond that. You can write that date on there just to let us know so that as we move towards a contractor, we know when we can engage this and begin moving in that direction. Hey, if you didn't grab the communion elements, would you please do that? They're not available. Are they available in the back? Yeah, they are. There they are. And they're also available up front. We do this every week because these elements, they remind us that our acceptance by the Father is not through our performance, like Justin talked about. It's not through our preferences. It's through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant, and being found in human likeness, he took on our sin on the cross so that we might receive his righteousness and his standing before the Father, and that's what this represents. And so let's hold these elements together in a few moments of prayer, and then we're going to share communion together. Father, I'm reminded of Paul's words. I thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And that's what we share. A partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. For some people today, that could be their first day. We're partnering and centering our lives on Jesus today. And then, Father, I give you so much gratitude for the foundation, whether through Pastor Jim or others that have laid a foundation that provided this building, that gave generously. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, we are excited together as a family to see what you're going to do. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He raised it up and gave thanks. And before his disciples said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Let us receive it together in remembrance of him." And in the same way, after supper, he took a cup. He said, this cup, it represents the new covenant that is now established in my blood. As often as we eat this bread, and as often today as we drink this cup, we're proclaiming Jesus' death until he gloriously returns. It's good to be with you today. Will you please stand with me?